Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette. Once again, by the Lord's mercies and goodness, by His grace and love, I'm able to look to the Bible with you this Lord's Day morning, and I'm thankful for this opportunity. My friends, we're continuing in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, and we're finishing up chapter 1 today. We've been talking about the exceedingly great power, the might and dominion and glory of God as it is expressed in the resurrection and the glorification of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been seeing that Paul has taught us that we are to pray asking God, as he prayed for the Ephesian Christians, that we might know more about this exceedingly great power that God has wonderfully expressed in the resurrection and glorification, the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, as we begin today, let's remember again this simple application, this clear teaching that the Apostle Paul brings before us in our text, and that is that we are to cry out to God that His power may be in us, ever more fully in us, and that we may know more and more about the exceeding great power of God as He has shown it to us in the resurrection and glorification of Christ. How we need the power of God, my friends, and how we need to increase in a spiritual knowledge of this mighty power, that we might know God and so grow in grace. I'm encouraged this week as I remember this mighty working of God in my life, and I was thinking about this the other day, and the thought came to mind about how it is that great trees are rooted in the earth. They sink their roots deep into the earth. And if there is a large and strong, healthy taproot or main root in the earth, then usually the tree will stand in all the storms of life and the tree will grow to maturity. And I thought about how it is that I think that's what Paul is getting at here in Ephesians and this glorious teaching about prayer. We who are truly saved are like trees or the planting of the Lord. And by the wonderful grace of God, God has built into us this taproot, if you will, this large, healthy, functioning, good root. And we are grounded in the truth. We are grounded in Christ. We are rooted in Christ. And so as trees, we grow before the Lord and we continue to grow because we are truly rooted and grounded in God's grace. If we were not saved by grace, then our lives would not reflect this glorious truth that we grow in the grace and knowledge of God, just as it is that a tree that is not really, truly rooted and grounded without that important taproot and this system of roots that God has designed that a tree must have, then we would be without grace, just as that tree would be without its roots. And so, because we are truly saved, we put our roots down deep and we grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And the wonderful result of this finally and ultimately is that we shall be presented to the Lord in the glorious measure of Christ that He desires that we shall attain to. We shall grow. And this is the important application at this point in Paul's teaching. We shall increasingly grow in our knowledge of the mighty power of God working in us. And so we shall grow to maturity. We shall grow and our sanctification shall continue. We shall understand and experience this mighty, gracious power of God until He perfects us us and we are brought to God. Wonderfully, this helps us to have great assurance that we are true Christians. Those without grace do not look like this. Their lives do not resemble this tree planted by rivers of water, if you will. Their lives are much more like the psalmist description of the lost, that they are like chaff which the wind blows away. And so, my friend, we rejoice that we are rooted in Christ. Let us continue to cry out to God that we might experience His grace, His power. And so it is, we shall be matured and shall be glorified. Amen. Well, that's just a bit of teaching to get us started. I wanted to share that thought with you. And so now let us pray, dear friends. Father, we thank You for this time You've given us. And Lord, I thank You for this wonderful section of Scripture, which has been such a blessing to my heart personally. I pray that this may be a wonderful blessing to the hearts of my hearers today, those who know You and really are rooted and grounded in Christ, like a tree that is planted beside rivers of water. And Lord, I pray for those who do not yet know You, who are not really yet found to be in Christ, that they would come to Christ, and that then they would be rooted and grounded in the truth, Lord, and turn from sin. Lord, how marvelous is Your work in Your people. How wonderful that You care for us, that you empower us. You reveal Your mighty power to us. We experience it daily, and we worship You and we thank You for it. And so bless Your word to our hearts once again this good day, this Lord's Day. In Jesus we pray, amen and amen. So my friends, let me read for you in Ephesians chapter 1 in the New King James Version of the Holy Bible, God's word to us, beginning in verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Amen. And so, my friends, I want to help us to look to the resurrected Lord and the glorified and ascended Lord today. And to enable us to do that, I want us to go from this wonderful scripture that we have been expositing, that is, that we've been explaining, drawing the truth out from, to better understand and apply in our lives, all for the glory of God. And I want us to look at some verses in the book of Ephesians. And Philippians is written by the Apostle Paul, the very same writer of this wonderful book, the book of Ephesians, that we have been learning from. And we find there in Philippians that Paul shows us the Lord Christ resurrected, glorified, and ascended. And he teaches us some more about this wonderful work of God and what it means, and how it is that we are to be humble Christians, just as Jesus Christ was humbled, that we too may be risen up and exalted just as our Lord was exalted. And so if a human being is humbled in this life, he believes in God, then God exalts him or lifts him up, just as the scripture says that the humble are raised up. And that is Paul's application for us. Because of this mighty working power of God in us, we are to be godly. We are to be true believers, loving God, and carry ourselves as true believers, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, living in humility, and trusting that as Christ was raised up, so we shall be raised up. And then I want us to look at some verses as we look and see the glorified Lord in the book of Revelation, the King upon his throne, I'm encouraged to remember that as we see Christ by the eyes of faith, and that's my task today, to bring this portrait, this picture, this photo, this snap, if you will, of Christ before us. As we see him, John tells us that we shall be transformed and we shall be made into his likeness. Wonderfully, we see him by faith as we trust him, turn from our sins. God changes us. And that is the great need of our lives, to see Christ, to trust Christ, and to be changed by Christ. And this is God's work in us. As we trust him and behold him, God changes us into his likeness wonderfully, just as it is that we see ourselves in a mirror when we look into Christ. So it is that we see this transformed image of ourselves. And that is because God is truly transforming us. We are called continually to look to Christ and give him glory. And I'm encouraged this morning, my friends, by the thoughts of a contemporary writer, a Christian by the name of Milton Vincent, a gospel preacher, a minister. And he writes in his excellent book, A Gospel Primer for Christians, Learning to See the Glories of God's Love, about this wonderful transformation by the glory of God that occurs for us who believe in Jesus Christ. And so Paul's prayer is that we would know and experience and give God glory and be changed by the mighty working power of God. All of this reveals to us the glory of God. And Milton writes about being transformed by the glory as we behold Christ in his glory. The glory of God is the most powerful agent of transformation available to mankind. It is so powerful that it transforms those who merely gaze upon it. The Apostle Paul gives personal testimony concerning this stunning fact. But we all, he says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. From Paul's testimony, I learned that if I wish to become all that God wants me to be, I must behold his glory each day. But where do I find God's glory to behold? Indeed, the glory of God is revealed throughout all of creation. But the Bible indicates that outside of heaven, the glory of God in its thickest density dwells inside the gospel. It is for this reason that the gospel is described in Scripture as the gospel of the glory of Christ and the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. Consequently, as I habitually gaze upon the glory of the Lord revealed in the gospel, I can know that actual deposits of God's very glory are attaching themselves to my person and transforming me from one level of glory to another. This transformation is deep and abiding and unfadingly displays the glory of God to others. Aren't those wonderful thoughts, wonderful truths, my friends? And so Milton Vincent is bringing before us this wonderful fact that just as it is that Paul prayed that the Ephesians and that we too would know more and more about this exceedingly glorious power of God, that as we behold Christ in his power and glory, that God changes us. And his writing here, his idea is that God attaches to us his glory and transforms us from one level to another. We grow in grace. And so the text before us is such a text that It brings us into the glorious presence of God where we behold Him. And I trust that we will all powerfully be changed by this vision of the glorified Christ, the resurrected, ascended Christ today, my friends. God is working as we see Christ in His glory to take us from glory to glory. That is to continually give us glory as we behold Him and as we behold Him again in the future. He is working to transform us as we behold the glorified Christ. May God transform you today, my friend, and take you to that next level of glory. May He do that for me too. May He do that for His people. And wonderfully, we're reminded that when we first come to Christ, when we are saved, we first see Him in His glory as He really is. The exalted, eternal God that He is, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, crucified, glorified, resurrected, ascended for us sinners. How wonderful, Lord. Thank You that You are transforming us even right now. By Your mighty grace, we behold Christ there upon the throne. We thank You for Him. And so, my friends, let us now continue in the gospel glory and see more about this awesome work of God that He has powerfully brought to pass for us in Christ Jesus in the book of Philippians. I mentioned this verse citation last week, but it's so rich and full and wonderful and glorious that I want to share it with you again and in a bit more detail. In Philippians chapter 2, let me just read these verses. Let us bask in the glory. Let us behold the glory. Let us worship Him in our hearts for His glory. Let us tremble before Him by grace, beholding the mighty power of God in Christ Jesus. And because of Christ Jesus, so it is that we have come to the glory of God the Father. In verse 5, the word says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant," that's a slave, "and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so, my friends, quickly this morning we see that Paul makes clear, simple application, and we have a commandment from Christ to His church through the apostle there in verse 5. Christ's commandment to us is that we are let His mind be in us. That is, that we are to cooperate with God in His sanctifying work. We are to set our minds on Christ and the things of heaven. We are to let His mind be in us. And the one that we are to look to and to let His mind be in us is none the less than the man Jesus Christ, who came and was found to be in the form of God. That speaks of the fact that God in all of His fullness was in this man, Jesus Christ, in human form, that the people saw and loved and worshipped and came to in His generation, those few who believed in Him, and that through this wonderful man that salvation has come to humanity. This man, found in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. That is, that he did not sin when he proclaimed his equality with the Almighty. It was not a robbery of God's glory. There was no sin when the man, Jesus Christ, proclaimed and taught and said that he was one with the Father. This glorious God, the man Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, made himself as a man to be of no reputation. This speaks of the wonderful truth that he was slandered and lied about and misunderstood, that he was oppressed for our sake. He was willing to be cast off for us. He was reviled, called a malefactor, called evil, all for our sake. And so he came to be made of no reputation. He came to suffer in this way. I've been going through a trial in which some unkind and untrue things have been said about me. And in this time of slander, I have been hurt deeply, but I was led to reflect upon this suffering, this aspect of my Lord's suffering recently, and I began to really find myself in wonder and amazement that the eternal God, Jesus the Son, would allow himself to be lied about and called evil, and responded to this in a humble submission to the will of God. He simply bore it. He contended for the faith. He fought for the truth. He proclaimed the truth, but he made himself of no reputation. And in this, he took our sin and dishonor and scorn and hate and evil upon himself. And he bore it graciously, the Lamb of God that he is. And the glorious God, the Son, he came in the form of a bondservant. That is, he appeared as a slave to serve us. He came in the likeness of men. And it says here that this humbling work of God, this being found in appearance as a man, this humiliation of Christ, was so that he became obedient to the Father to the point of death, even the shameful, painful death, the bloody death of the cross, of the tree of death. He came and humbled himself, and so his mind of humility is to be in us. We are to be lowly in heart, humble, loving one another, serving one another, coming under others as the Lord has done for us to save us in his infinite love and wisdom and power. We are to be lowly as he was lowly. We are to consider others better than ourselves. We are to obey God in our sufferings. He obeyed to the point of death. In his death on the cross, he saves us. And so God takes the humble and suffering and the dying and the dead Christ, and God lifts him up to highest glory. He is pleased with his Son, and God exalts this most humble, perfect man, the true lover of God, the true lover of men. And God lifts him up to the highest place and declares that his name, the name of Jesus, is the name which is above every name, that every knee, every man shall bow to this glorious name. The humbled man is now exalted. The true man, the true and obedient man is exalted. And every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth, the living and dead, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Lord of glory, the Lord of love, the Lord of power, the Lord of mercy, the Lord of grace, the Lord of all, to the redounding glory of God the Father. His glory shall reverberate through the creation. God has loved men and given the Lamb of God his own Son, and glory is his forevermore. Infinite, unfailing glory is His forevermore. Amen. And so we are called to be humble people. We are called to accept our troubles, our sorrows, our humiliations in a gracious, kind, loving way. We are called to always obey God. And by the way, my friends, God usually humbles us as we are humiliated. And so when you are in a difficult time and you are made low, then let us remember to then let the mind that was in Christ Jesus, a mind which embraced suffering, a mind which was humbled for us, always obedient to God, let that mind be in us. Amen. Again, wonderfully, we shall be exalted as He was exalted if His mind is truly in us. And so, my friends, we now find, because our time is going quickly, that I just want to share a quick verse with you as, again, we see the glory of Christ resurrected, ascended. We find in Revelation 21 in verse 1, let me just read the words, and I trust that God's Spirit will paint the picture for you. The glory of Christ. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, and prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And so, my friends, God the Lamb, God is seen here on His throne, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we see the clear gospel summons here to turn from our sins, because those who do not shall find their eternal place to be in the lake of fire. His summons is to turn from our sins. His commandment is to believe on Him, the resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ, crucified for us sinners. And so we are saved and we behold His glory. And so, my friends, trust in this wonderful Lord with all of your heart. Father, we thank You for the picture of Christ in His glory that's before us in the text in Ephesians and Philippians and here in Revelation. We give You glory. We give You thanks. We trust You that just as You declare to us, you are now changing us, that the glory of Christ is reaching us and touching us, transforming us, and we are growing in grace by Your mighty power. Teach us more and more about the power of God, Your power, in the resurrection and ascension of Christ. Have Your glory in that, Lord, and bless Your people and save through the word of God that has come today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord of glory bless you, dear friend.